Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Hello, this is Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Thursday, the 30th of March. Had guests coming out of our yin yang.
Good grief, we jammed them in.
We spoke with Steve Scanlon. Steve is doing this massive walk for a really great cause. He's going Sydney to Brisbane, virtually doing it by himself, but a really good cause. So we speak to Steve about that.
Yeah, indeed. We also caught up with Michelle Rowland, the Minister for Communications.
Yeah.
Well,
about the black spots. Ow!
Things
on the
are
Central
happening.
I just hit my finger. On the Central Coast. Also, Paul Lamont, when it comes to surf life saving in the Masters, he's won 110 surf life saving gold medals. Would you keep them?
Not much.
Yeah, you've got to pick your game up, Paul.
I'd melt them. Imagine what that'd be worth.
They're not gold. They're not real gold.
Oh, come on. No, yes, they are.
No, they're not. That's all coming up on our podcast for this Thursday, 30th of March.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And I know you've been wondering, Rob, White Lotus 3?
I have been wondering.
Well, White Lotus, oh, I love it. Jeez, it's good. The first one was set in Hawaii, the second one in Sicily.
So the beauty is that thing can just keep going forever because...
You just
pick a resort, go there and tell some sordid story.
and there was more sex in the second one than the first one.
A lot of sex. A lot more.
All mixed sex as well. And anyway, the guessing apparently has come to an end. The upcoming third season will be set in Thailand.
Ooh.
And there's always a murder.
What could go wrong there?
Oh, nothing. Unless you get on a moped. That's Bali. But they haven't been a lot in Thailand, I could imagine, as well, wouldn't they?
Have a lot of what?
Mopeds. What about this? another story we're looking at. Teenagers who have permission from their parents to drink alcohol in the home are likely to drink more alcohol and have a higher chance of being harmed by their alcohol consumption, according to Australian research. Using data related to teens aged 16 to 17, the researchers say 28% were allowed to drink at home. Among that group, 77% had drunk alcohol in the past month, compared with 63% of those who didn't have permission. So, you know, it's pretty close. 77% had drunk alcohol in the past month.
It's 63. What a stupid survey.
We used to go to the club and we'd order rum and Coke, but in a 10-ounce glass, because it looked as though you were drinking just Coke.
Yeah.
Because they'd normally give rum and Coke in a 7-ounce glass back home. And because if anyone saw me...
Back in the days when it did, like, ID wasn't even a thing.
No one
really cared.
No, didn't care. And, only friends of Dad. And so if they saw me... So you'd never drink beer.
I don't actually remember ever drinking grog at home with Mum and Dad.
No, Mum and Dad never drank. It was only when we went out. That's when you'd order a rum and Coke in a 10-ounce glass.
I've had a beer here and there with my 17-year-old. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I can't see. I don't know. I can't see the problem.
Yeah.
I think if you think your kids aren't.
Oh, I aren't
if
drinking.
If you think your 17-year-old hasn't had a drink.
You're deluded. Absolutely deluded. But Mum and Dad, as I said, Mum and Dad never drank whatsoever. And never, not a touch. But we used to always have a pack of the Chewies, PK, in our pocket. So if we went out, so then when before Dad picked us up, we'd shove them in our mouth.
Always that one parent. My Richard.
Oh, Richard. Yeah, Richard's probably now in the slammer somewhere. Also, hey, what do you reckon? ARL commission boss, Peter Volandis, he's going to hold formal talks with the Victorian government on a proposed $15 million sell-off of the NRL Grand Final as Rugby League explores taking the decider to AFL Heartland.
Move it around.
Mate, I agree. You just go, like, they had it in Brisbane that time because of COVID.
Yeah.
They had the State of Origin in Perth, which they had something like 50 or 60,000 fans there last year.
Probably the wrong time to talk about it, though, is Melbourne going the way it is.
What do you mean?
Melbourne, the Rugby League team.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with Melbourne.
Yeah, hopeless.
Just had a bad year. They're having a bad year. But, I could imagine for fans, just say if the Roosters make the grand final, and then you're a Roosters fan, you're living in the heartland, and they say, no, it's not here, it's in Melbourne. You can see, well, that would be cranky. But people travel there, Roosters fans, who will travel from, say, North Queensland to go and watch
the... Where do you stop? You're going to have it in Adelaide? Just to spread the game?
Have it in Adelaide if they want to pay it. You know, $15 million, have it on the Central Coast.
Oh.
Adcock Park. Just set up a few demandables.
Yeah, that's right.
What about that? Is there, there'd be heaps of parks around the Central
Temporary
Coast.
Seating.
Temporary seating, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Some of those plastic chairs, Robert.
Where else should we put it?
And then just put up a Hessian fence.
Darwin.
Darwin. Oh,
geez, that'd be hot.
Oh, hot. Oh, friggin' hot out there, mate. I've lived there twice. Bloody hot. But I'm going back local. There's a lot of parks on the Central Coast. We go to the Rugby League Grand Final.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, just as I said, Sawyer Park at Arimba. As I said, okay. They've got the Hessian always up yeah. there so that no one looks in.
The Centre for Excellence up there.
No, Arimba. Sawyer Park.
Yeah, what about the Centre for
Excellence? Yes, yeah, a soccer ground. Doesn't matter. Just convert it.
Oh,
good idea. Bloody, yeah.
Hang on, weren't the Warriors place. There?
Warriors
were there.
No.
What was that place we went to?
That was up the road from all part of the Centre of Excellence.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, they don't have Hessian on the fence, though. Anyway, we'll look at that later on. If you want to have a chat about anything?
133353.
Or you can text us, by the way.
0482081077. Yeah, get in the game.
Might be a park around you that could host the Rugby League Grand Final. Triple M.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Hey, you know, we've been giving you BRAC updates each day because he's in Sydney. He was in Melbourne yesterday, but he was spotted walking the Sydney's iconic Harbour Bridge, Robert.
Oh, bully for him.
Yeah, but look, while guests on the bridge climb are ordinarily ordered to wear jumpsuits and harnesses for safety reasons, the Obamas and their entourage were seen without either.
Oh.
Mm. It's understood a request to climb the bridge from the Obama's team was facilitated by Transport for New South Wales.
It's not fair, is it?
No. One rule for one rule for the others. In a comment to the NCA Newswire, a spokesman said the Obama's visit followed the standard safety protocols that are in place for visiting dignitaries and are regularly implemented.
Maybe it's because they, you know, they know he's not an idiot. Like, because you're regular so-and-so. It's hard to tell.
So you reckon I'd go, I'll drop something from up
hang
here.
Hang on a second.
You know, watch me. I'll have a dive off the bridge. Hey, come on.
Hang on a second. Do you bring up that parachute?
Yeah.
How hard do you reckon the water is from up here?
Very hard. But if they say if you drop a spanner at the same time, the spanner will break the water and...
Don't even.
That's what they say.
You would need more than a spanner.
Of course
I would say you would carry a brick with you. Yeah. I've often thought about this.
Yeah.
And then throw the brick at the water.
And then breaks the water.
But then you hit the brick.
Yeah, problems there. I see what you've done. So. But that's one rule for one, rule for the other, don't you think, Robert?
It is.
It is. Mm.
You don't like it?
Just saying. I'm going to ring Bridge
like
Climb today.
Let's ring Bridge Climb.
Why
don't we do that?
Harness free. That's what I want.
We'd like the Barack package.
Yes, please. Oh, what about yesterday? Look, we were talking about yesterday where four or 500 people went on that online call paying $400 each, $200,000, just for a little bit of a chat online. That's good money, isn't it?
Could have spent it on a bridge climb.
Yeah.
Without the rules.
Just as much money won't be up for grabs at the Tall Timbers Hotel this afternoon for the running of the crab races. See, if Barack was here, wouldn't it be good to take him to the crab races this afternoon at the Tallies?
He'd love it.
He would love it. Harness free. I think the jackpot's about $300 and that starts around 5 o'clock. So if you can make it there, we'd love to see you there. No problems.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And don't forget tomorrow night, if you want to see Pseudo Echo, they're back. Laycock Street Theatre, you can get your tickets now from pseudoecho.net. And we spoke to the main man from Pseudo Echo. Nice bloke, wasn't he?
Brian Cannon.
You can get that on the listener app, LISTNR, if you missed that chat.
Hey, don't you reckon kids are getting younger and younger on checkouts? Like you go to the checkout and you think, far out, now you are just out of nappies and here you are serving at the checkout.
I still remember when I went through one time and you hear, ding, and she said, oh, what is that? And I said, that is an avocado.
And then
she said to me, you're really going to have to tell me what they are?
Yeah.
I said, they're button squash. Because
that is funny, because you need to be able to find it on the thing.
I know. What's that?
You go, and they're just so young. I like to see it though, because you see kids getting out and getting a job. You know,
Robert,
like they're 15 years old, they're working in a shop, and they're just trying to help, and they're trying to learn the value of money, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Until I went to the bakery the other day.
Right now, here we go. Time to get your lampoon out. Line them up. Line them up.
What is it with kids today? I went in there, said, I'd like a loaf of your block loaf, thanks. Thinly sliced. I like my bread thinly sliced.
Oh, I go toast all the time. It's a bit thicker. Yeah.
You love bread, though.
Yeah, because the other one's too wafer thin.
But the wafer thin means you're focusing on the filling, not the bread.
Yeah, but it's too thin to hold that filling, and quite often it drops through.
You need to damp your tomatoes on a piece of kitchen paper. It takes the liquid out of them.
Should do, or put the lettuce down or cheese down first, Robert.
Put a lettuce as a layer, then the tomato, then the cheese, and it's exactly contained. Anyway, that's not by the by. So she was going over to cut the bread, and I looked down, and there on these little barbecue pizzas in the bakery that they have there in the window, there's this big ass blowfly just.
That does happen.
And I was looking down, oh, Jesus.
Did you tell them?
That's annoying me.
Did you?
I said, oh, just thought you might want to know. There's a big, big blowfly there just having a go at your pizzas. And she looked back as the bread was coming out of the machine and said, yeah, I know, they're a bit annoying, aren't they?
Just let it ride.
I said, yeah, they are. Oh, they're just very hard to get rid of. And then I thought, okay, so she knows that they're hard to get rid of. Maybe she's gotten rid of them before and she'll do it.
Yeah.
She gave me the bread and I paid for the bread. Thanks very much. And I walked to the door and I thought, I'm not leaving this shop until I see whether or not she has got that fly off that pizza.
Yeah.
She just went straight to the next person. What would you like?
And she gets some fly spray after. That'll loop it.
Pull the tray out first, just spray the air, and then put the stuff back in. Oh, my God.
Thoroughly tastes all right. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. We're looking this morning, ARL Commissioner Boss, Peter Volandis. He's holding formal talks with the Victorian government on a proposed $15 million sell-off of the NRL Grand Final as Rugby League explores taking the side of the NFL heartland. We have no problems with that. Look, there is a bit of an issue with the time frame because this year's AFL Grand Final is on Saturday, September 30 at the MCG, 24 hours before the NRL. 24 hours before.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you know. See? Yeah. There's a few stadiums they can go to, but they'd want it at the MCG.
Still be dirt. How long does it take to clean that joint?
Oh,
proper
day,
proper clean,
and then you'd have to change the field and move it in because
the lines,
you know, it's oval compared to a rectangle.
Imagine the players would be confused, wouldn't they?
And then you'd have to try and change the AFL.
Get out of the square. What's the square?
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. Mark, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this? Mark, good morning, mate.
Good morning, guys. Peter, please just stop. I think it's a real overreaction, to tell you the truth. I mean, okay, the government, the new elected government, right, might not be able to support some, new stadiums in New South Wales, but there's nothing wrong with our huge stadiums that we previously have the NRL in. I mean, I'm the sort of guy that if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. The other thing is, too, like the fans, you've got to talk about the fans. I mean, you're going to get hit with expensive airfares to fly out to, you know, Victoria to go and watch it. The airlines capitalise on that. So I'm dead set against it. Keep it in New South Wales, where it's traditionally been. If you have to take it somewhere else, well, maybe you might, take it to Queensland. But at
Sawyer
the moment,
Park.
It's limited
Sawyer
New
Park.
South Wales. Or, well, New South Wales, Sawyer Park, I don't care, you know.
Yeah,
Duffy's Oval. All
Duffy's
those
Oval, buddy, yeah.
Doesn't
that
limit?
Adcock Park.
Oh, it's huge. Doesn't that limit the growth of rugby league? If you're saying no, it's never leaving New South Wales, you're putting a real cap on the potential for growth, aren't you?
Well, you could possibly see that point of view, Rob, but I think you're definitely wrong because AFL is so popular in Victoria. How are we going to crack into that code? I mean, you're really going into a state that really has a real fix on AFL.
Yeah, but when they've played the State of Origin matches down there, it's been chock a block in Melbourne.
Well, look, I tell you what,
same as in
I'll
Perth.
Tell you what, if you two blokes put your hand in your skyrocket and chip in for a ticket for me to go to the grand final, I don't care.
Actually, we'll get some tickets to give away.
And you know what? When you say about the fans, like just say if it's the Dolphins Broncos grand final this year, most of the fans have to travel anyway.
All the Queenslanders are going, what the hell are they doing playing in New South Wales?
So
can we not get ahead of ourselves with the Dolphins Broncos
thing? Oh, sorry
about
that. A bit early, premature. But we understand your point, Marky. Thank you for that, mate. We've got another Mark. This is the good Mark from Springfield. G'day, Mark.
Mark.
G'day, boys. Good morning.
Yeah, what do you think?
Mate, I played at rugby league. I was 41. It's entrenched in New South Wales. Melbourne have the Grand Prix, the Boxing Day Test, the tennis. They only want it for a sporting event, not for the roots of rugby league. It's got to stay here. They can't move it.
Yeah,
right.
They've got the badminton as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. But also, you know, that you say, oh, we've got a great rugby league. NRL's on television down there. It's they get state of origin. They get free to air TV. I kept the coach in both New South Wales and Victoria. AFL is entrenched in rugby, entrenched in AFL. Rugby league is a very hard game to break that code of AFL. It's still there. We've got small grassroots in Melbourne and country, New South Wales and Victoria. Yep. But it's got to stay in New South Wales. If not, share it with Queensland because they're mad rugby league supporters.
Okay, good point. Hey, mate, for calling, we've got $100 to spend at Wyong League's group club for you, buddy.
Thanks, boys. Have a great day. Go to
Tigers! Well, they haven't so far. Wyong Leagues Group bringing communities together for 50 years. Visit wyongleaguesgroup.com.au.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Well, look, some people are bloody mad. That's what they say. How would you like to walk from Sydney to Brisbane over a 26-day period?
I've heard it already.
Doing it for an extremely, extremely good cause. And we've got Steve Scanlon, Chairman of Technology People, with us this morning. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Not too bad.
Going all right. And we had a little guess at where you might be today because we started in Sydney 3 days ago.
On Sunday.
You're heading north, and really, I didn't think too hard about it because I guessed you'd be in Taree. But if you're keeping that sort of pace, you'd be in Darwin before the end of the tour.
It's slow going, that's for sure, mate. It's slow going. I'm in Gateshead, Newcastle at the moment. So.
Oh, right. So you walked through the coast yesterday, Steve?
Yeah, the last 2 days, yeah. So I stayed at, not last night, not before, I was at the Tukley Motel.
Oh, everyone stayed. Went on the Central Coast, Steve. You stay at the Tukley Motel.
Don't miss it.
It was definitely the place to be, that's for sure. That's for sure. But no, through that, I'm actually quite lucky because as I was going through Mount White, it was raining constantly a couple of days ago, so I went through four pairs of shoes and blisters everywhere. So
that's right, because of the weather, because of the rain.
The weather's horrendous, and I never thought about the weather. I don't know why. Or the hill. Okay.
Or the hills. That's an oversight for next time.
So far, is that the thing? Like, you know, in the planning, because this would have taken a lot of planning too.
No, because I'm very busy, I travel a fair bit. I planned it in about 3 weeks because I just knew if I planned it any longer, I just wouldn't do it.
but mate, you're doing it. This is a really good cause. While you're doing this walk from Sydney to Brisbane over 26-day period and raising a huge amount of money as well, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm doing it. My two oldest children have an incurable disease called Friedreich's ataxia, where it only affects 200 families in Australia. So it's extremely rare. There's no government funding. My daughter's in a wheelchair full time, and my son can't walk more than 5 metres. So if I can't get up out of bed every day and walk 40-odd kilometres for them, then, I need to have a long, hard look.
Oh, if you ever needed any more motivation, there's nothing more powerful than your kids, is there?
Oh, absolutely. And then you look at it as well, and not bagging Red Cross or any of the other charities. I'm actually trying to raise money for a cure where, you know, the other funding that everyone or the other charities are looking at different things, which is still wonderful, but... Yeah. For me, that's the one thing I look at. Like when I'm in pain and I'm struggling in that last 10-15K, it's just that cure.
And Steve, you mentioned Friedreich's ataxia. Yeah. What does it do? What does it attack on the body?
It's different for everybody, but effectively it's a muscle degeneration disease.
Yeah.
So, my son's 13 and he weighs about 32 kilos. So it just sort of wastes away at you, and then it just effectively eats the heart, and
And no cure, mate.
No cure, no funding. It's just no one knows about it, you know. And the reason why I'm doing this is just to raise awareness, and you know, my best mate, who was the best man at my wedding, he, 4 weeks ago when I started planning it, he said it was, he called it by the wrong disease. And I was like, geez, if you don't even know and you're his godfather, I need to do something about this.
Yes. Yeah, mate. For it's sure. It's got to be awareness.
The first step to anything is awareness, Steve. And then once you get that far, then you see people in government that start to say, okay, maybe this needs a little bit of attention. If people are talking about it, then that's the first step, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And because there's limited people affected by it, it's just mainstream. It's just not, it's not in the public forum. It's not there. It's so yeah. Hopefully, I can raise a bit of money, raise a bit of awareness, and help. That goes a long way to finding a cure.
Hey, Steve, how can we donate?
There's a couple of different ways. There's a grassroots page, but the easiest way is to go to technologypeople.com.au, and then on that page there's a landing page will take you straight through to the tax deductible donation site that you can jump on there.
Okay, technologypeople.com.au. Help Steve out with his walk. What's your what's your goal? What are you hoping to raise?
$500,000 would be absolutely amazing. But to be honest, anything helps. This is the biggest fundraiser that Farah, because they're quite small. They've only got one full-time employee. And then the clinicians, there's only 3 clinicians working across Australia on it. So it's a very small organisation. So this is the largest fundraiser that has ever happened. So anything's great, but $500,000. Be absolutely amazing.
And mate, will you leave Gateshead this morning, northbound of course. Mate, how many in your posse?
I'm down to myself now, mate.
Oh no. I deserted you.
I had 70 people the first day, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Only 10 people finished that first day. They got stuck at the pub halfway.
Oh, that is not
I did Rob Palmer organise that. I tell you what, Steve.
Yeah, I don't blame him. And then Dom, one of my business partners, he made it to yesterday. And then he's got commitment. So he's got to head off. So I'm on the phone.
All right.
It's just you and your blisters.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of them, a couple of good friends on the feet there.
All right, so if you see, you go in Gateshead and beyond, you see that the lone bloke walking, that's Steve Scanlon, chairman of Technology People, raising awareness and funds for Friedreich Ataxia. Go on technologypeople.com.au. It'll take you, as you said, to the landing page to donate. Give generously. Steve, all the best, mate. And we might speak to you next week just to see where you're up to and how you're going, buddy.
That would be amazing. Thanks for having us on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Take care, mate. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. The government last year, well, before they were elected, they wanted to address the black spot at Mangrove Mountain and also other areas of the Central Coast. So this morning we thought we would...
Residents in the Mangrove Mountain area, mobile coverage is either unreliable or unavailable. To find out what is going to happen to these black spots on the coast, Paddy and Rob have reached out to our Minister for Communication, Michelle Rowland.
And she's become a friend of the show. Michelle, good morning.
Michelle.
Good morning to you.
How you going?
Excellent, thanks.
Hey, since we spoke last year, especially about Lower Mangrove, well, Wayne, who calls us, keeps us up to date, he rang last week. This is what he had to say.
So last night when I got home from work, landline's down, mobile network's down, internet's down. So had to drive 20 km back up the Mangrove Mountain to make a phone call to report our landline was out.
Yeah, I know. We spoke last time that applications were closed for the next round of the Mobile Black Spots program and the Regional Connectivity program.
The ball was rolling, but we're just wondering, I guess, where the ball has got to and how much speed it's gaining.
Sure thing. Well, the good news is the Mangrove Mountain site, that actually has been funded under our election commitments, and applications are open for the carriers now. They close in a couple of weeks, so we expect to see some applications from the carriers towards building that. So that's a co-investment between the federal government and whichever carriers apply for that. So that's good news.
Good news.
The other bit of good news is that last week I opened the latest round of $150 million to cover black spots as well as bespoke improvements. So That's now open, and I encourage your listeners to go to the Department of Communications notice board. We're in a phase now called the pre-application phase. So the department has guidelines. So local councils, residents, small businesses, community groups, it's great if they could go onto that notice board, because the more support we see for particular sites, the more carriers are interested and the better results we can get for people. So I want to ensure your listeners we are progressing this, but I completely understand what Wayne's saying. I had a consumer roundtable last week, and it'll be no surprises to your listeners that the single biggest issue that's being raised with the telecommunications industry ombudsman is mobile coverage. So it is a very high priority for us to not only get this rollout done, but look at what is slowing it down as well. And in some cases, it's pretty lengthy and cumbersome council approval processes, but I'm really focused on getting this done better. It was designed in a time, this whole regime was designed in a time when telecom was just rolling out copper lines and not mobile services. But as you and all your listeners know, we rely on our mobiles so much now.
Yeah, well, Michelle, even Luke from Copacabana called this morning. Oh, he's from Terrigal. And in populated areas like Copa, this is what Luke had to say.
I live at Copacabana. And if you go down to Copa shop and, you know, get a coffee like I do most Saturday mornings, there's one bar of 3G down there when you're inside getting a coffee. I mean, the phone reception's always been bad up there.
Yeah.
And it only seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, so there are many areas.
You know, it happens also in Terrigal, Wamberal. There's so many places. The population growth is far outpacing the advancement of technology in the area, and people are getting frustrated. And sometimes it can be desperate. If there's been an accident and you're at Lower Mangrove, you can't even call emergency services.
Absolutely. And you know, this is a safety issue as well as a work and convenience one. I also want to assure your listeners I'm regularly in contact with Telstra, Optus and TPG. And I know there was a particular complaint around some of those towers. Optus has repaired some faults there. But it's really useful that your listeners put out these calls, because that's how we can alert the carriers and get improvements done. But also, exactly as you say, as you have more populations and we have more peri-urban areas, including the Central Coast, including sort of South and Northwest Sydney, we have requirements to put in water and electricity. There's actually no requirement to put in mobile coverage. So I've been engaging with local councils, because I think this is an area that's really been overlooked. I'm looking forward to working with the new New South Wales government, because we really can't go around just trying to keep retrofitting everything. We've got to think about the future as well.
It's no longer a backwater. This is a burgeoning metropolis now on the Central Coast, and there's more and more people every month.
Absolutely right. And, you know, it is a very similar situation to the Central Coast, as is happening in those growth areas around the southwest. A lot of your listeners would have been around, say, Oran Park or some of those new areas. And again, it's so frustrating for people. They expect when they move into a new area that they'll have mobile coverage, and it's a legitimate expectation. So I am working really hard with the local councils to get some improvements here, because it can be that site acquisition and the development application process through council that really holds things up, when we know a lot of the time the carriers want to roll out, people want this connectivity, and we've got to remove those roadblocks.
Oh, that's good news. Well, Michelle, we'll probably speak to you in the next couple of months, see how things are rolling along, but it's good that you're on the ball, you're on the case.
And we appreciate your time and effort.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Michelle Rowland, who is our Federal Communications Minister. Paddy and Rob Palmer,
the podcast. This is the news that doesn't make the news, that should be in the news instead of the other news.
Good morning, Robert.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Come on. Come on. Shitey liver.
Yeah.
Come on. What are you telling us about?
You got my theme ready?
No. I didn't know you wanted the theme. You walked out before.
You know exactly what I'm going to talk about.
Is that about the sun?
It's not about it's not about the sun.
Which one have you got?
Well, they've been looking at a black hole that is...
On the sun?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm just asking.
How about you listen and you'll find out.
All right, Dad.
A black hole that is roughly 30 billion times the sun, times the mass of our sun. So you look at our sun, imagine something with 30 billion times more mass than that. Oh. They've discovered this black hole. Space experts, they use this phenomenon called gravitational lensing. Still waiting for...
It's arrived now.
They use a phenomenon known as gravitational lensing in order to make the findings, right? Gravitational lensing is when a galaxies warp in the fabric of space and it creates a natural magnifying glass. They warp around black holes and stuff.
Yeah.
So they can, it boosts light traveling from distant background objects and they can see this black hole it's that is.
Same as the warping around potholes on the Central Coast.
Looks deep. Why do you see it through this gravitational lensing?
Kids, you're right down there.
The thing is massive.
Yes, it is big.
But the things that we can see now, you just think.
Unbelievable.
It's just dumb luck that we are existing on Earth.
It's a stone's throw away, isn't it?
You go, if Earth was just that much closer, it would be 80 degrees today.
I thought you were telling us about the sun. Did you tell us yesterday about the sun, how it developed that massive hole?
Oh, welcome to the party.
Oh, 20 times larger than Earth. Okay.
Yeah, that was yesterday. Where were you?
I was going to tell you about Brad Pitt. Have a guess. He bought a home back in 1994 for $1.7 million. Have a guess how much he sold it for.
$39 million.
$39 million. Good boy. But he was. What about what he wanted for it?
Oh, I probably wanted a bit less.
45. No, he wanted 45.
Did he want?
No, but and he sold, Brad, he sold it for $39 million. But what I'm here to help you out. And I said I was going to help you out because you like eating Easter eggs and hot cross buns and all that sort of stuff.
Don't like hot cross buns.
Who was that eating it yesterday?
Wasn't me.
Oh, that was me. And I had one this morning. If you have a small hot cross bun, no butter, it's going to burn it off 30 minutes swimming. If you have a large hot cross bun with butter, 30 minutes of jogging. If you have
a... You're saying that 30 minutes of jogging is more intense than 30 minutes of swimming? Not the way I swim.
Of course not.
I swim to survive.
Of course not. If you have a chocolate chip hot cross bun...
My big truck ass drags through the water like an anchor.
if you have a chocolate chip hot cross bun, it's going to take you one Zumba class to burn that off. And here's you. Two caramello eggs, 15 minutes of rowing. If you have, this is with the Easter break coming up and all that sort of
How
stuff.
How big?
Two caramello, you know, just the normal caramello
eggs. The little tiny ones?
Yeah. Yep.
How much?
15 minutes of rowing.
Oh, please.
One creme egg, you know how you have the big creme eggs?
Wouldn't even touch them.
45 minutes of power walking if you have one creme. And if you have a deluxe bunny, 100 grams, two cycle classes. So be very careful this Easter.
No wonder rowing's not working for me.
I don't think anything is.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Oh, this man is an absolute legend. It is Forrest Paul Lemon.
Still parading around in his Speedos.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, but I don't parade around in my Speedos in front of the mirror.
No, that's Paddy does that.
Once. I did that once. And it was for a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Paul has just got back because the Australian Surf Life Saving Championships are over in Scarborough at the moment. They have the Masters. And, Paul, you achieved the extraordinary feat this week, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, I was very pleased with how it went. I won the event I actually trained for was the Ironman because that's the event that everyone wants to win because that shows the best all-round water competitor, which consists of a ski, board, paddles and a swim with a bit of running in between. It's about a 12-minute race, so you've got to be super fit to do that. And I was fortunate; I got a good little training group that I train with each day. And I was fortunate to win gold in that, and won a few more, which was a bonus.
So, when did you start competing to win that many gold medals? What? How
is
long
it 110?
Does that take?
It's 110 first, isn't it?
Yeah. That's how many I've won throughout my career.
Yeah.
And I've just been around, I've been doing it for quite a few years. So, because I've been doing it for so many years, I didn't realise the tally, you don't realise, tally gradually builds up and up and up. But it's just something that I do and I enjoy doing.
Where do you keep them all?
That's the best. The best 110 times.
You don't want to know. They're spread here, there and everywhere.
Mate, that would be a record for surf life saving, be it Masters or surf life saving, that's a record.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. Different people were talking about it on the beach on the weekend, but look, I don't do it for that. Do you know what I mean?
No,
I'm fortunate. I've got a bit of. I do quite well at what I've done, and I've built up a bit of. Well, people say, like, I don't like, you know, bragging off about myself, but say, oh, you're building up a legacy now, blah blah blah. So. Yeah. I don't.
Well, some people have fluffy dice. You just hang a couple of gold medals around your rear vision mirror.
Yeah. yeah, let them float through the air, you know.
Yeah, and when you're going to the beach house at Terrigal, you jingle, jingle, oh, here comes Paul, jingle, jingle. I've only got 8 on today. There's another 102 at home. Mate, that is huge. And you won your 14th straight win. Was that the 14th straight win? Was that in the surf race or the Ironman?
Yeah, the surf race. I've actually won 13 of the last 14 Ironman, but the surf race, I've won 14 in a row, which is really hard. It gets harder and harder to do. It's not easy to do because I've done it in different conditions. Like some have been in larger surfs, like on the weekend it was just flat. Short courses, there's just so many variables, and it's quite easy to get beaten in a race at that level.
It's huge, man.
And so, hey, how many years have you been doing it?
I've been doing it since I've been 10 years of age. So, and I'm now 56. So what's that? Kind of can't
46.
Nearly
5 decades.
Yeah, nearly 5 decades. Jeez. But at this level, like at national level, I've been competing basically for the last of those years, about the last 30 years at national level.
And Hayden Smith from Terrigal, he claimed a trifecta of gold medals too, winning the 44 in the iron man, the board, and the swim race. He's got to pick his game up, actually.
He actually won every individual race that I did, and he's my training partner, but it's great. Right. Yeah. He's great because he's in the 40 to 44 years,
he's
right?
Younger.
So he's younger, but however, he has the same, because he has the same mindset and training philosophies that I do, and we train together most days. We're great mates. We understand each other, so we push each other along to that next level.
Yeah, he's just short about 90 to 100 gold medals.
He'll get there for sure. We motivate. Yeah. It's really good. And that's what you need. I think that's the secret, is working as a team and working along with each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell Palmer. He's such an individual.
Oh,
he's
like such.
Just like you two guys. You know,
yeah, team. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He doesn't let me do anything.
Unfortunately, we don't do much exercise, but we will change.
Hey, it's good for it. It clears the head, that's for
sure. Exactly, Paul. Paul Lamont, well done. Absolute legend, and also to Hayden Smith from Terrigal. Well done, boys. The extraordinary feat. He's claimed 110 gold medals at the Australian Surf Life Saving titles in the Masters. And, of course, we've got many locals over there at the moment competing in the seniors division, which start probably today. So, it'll be great.
Top darts, Paul.
Paul, well done, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. And Barack Obama and his entourage have left Sydney in Melbourne, making a bit of cash there. Took away about $1 million from us yesterday.
Yeah.
But look, he also went for a bridge climb. And guests on that bridge climb are ordinarily ordered to wear jumpsuits and harnesses for safety reasons.
There's no flies on Barack.
Nope. The Obamas and their entourage were seen without either. And it's understood that a request to climb the bridge from the Obama's team was facilitated by Transport for New South Wales.
What if you were part of the entourage and you were slightly scared of heights and you wanted your harness? Yeah. And you said, sorry, if you've got a harness, I'll have to wear a harness. So you're going without.
But what about if you went after the Obamas?
And then said,
oh, you got to wear your harness.
Oh, it's no harness. Is it no harness day? Oh, it's no harness day, darling. No, sorry, put your harness on.
Yeah.
What about them?
No, different. What about... So we thought today, what would you like to see? A rule... Or something, regulation waived.
You know what? I'd like to have the bus lane rule waived for a day. You know, if you wanted to use bus lanes or transit lanes.
Yeah, that'd be bloody good.
And you just go, no problem, straight to work.
I'm still stuck on the sachet of sauce that they charge 25 cents. Sometimes even more when you get a pie. 123 53.
Or you can text us. 0482 08 1077. We've got one from Troy.
Yeah.
One rule I would like to be broken for a day is the first 50 people who arrive at the Sydney Easter show get free admission and 10 show bags and rides for free, and you get a special wristband so you can go in the exit lines and beat the crowds.
Would be a sleepover.
First 50 people would be a sleepover to ensure that you were one of the lucky few, but a lot of fun.
See, how good would that with the Royalists? Oh, they charge an arm and a leg.
Yes.
My charms an arm and a leg at the Royalists
show.
Call
it the Obama Award.
Yeah, now we've got Damo from Tookley. G'day, Damo.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Not too bad, mate.
What,
okay.
What would you use your Obama power for?
I would wipe the bloody prices at the restaurant for gravy and sauces.
Oh, yes. Well, they charge $4, $5. You order a steak. Which sauce would you like?
Gravy.
And then you go, oh, I've got to go and take a bank loan just to get some get some bloody gravy. $5. You go, what? You just make it with that Gravox packet for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Two spoonfuls of Gravox and some hot water, and you want to charge me?
$5. Damo, we agree, mate. Hey, we're going to send you the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, you beauty. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Yeah, well done. Smashing Pumpkins coming down under with their World as a Vampire Festival. Special guest, Jane's Addiction as well.
Oh, that is going to go off. Yeah. Amel and the Sniffers are there. And I think, did you say?
Yeah.
I heard that Emmy Mac from Red Hook was going to be there.
Yeah, well, I text Emmy Mac. Was Emmy Mac's our newsreader. I texted yesterday and I said, hey, Emmy, I hope you're doing well. Are you supporting the Smashing Pumpkins? She said there was a bit of a stuff up, but they are playing Ballarat and the three Queensland gigs with them. So Red Hook, our Emmy Mac,
our once news reader and
guru,
front person of Red Hook. She is an animal on stage.
Yeah, is supporting the Smashing Pumpkins. But you won't be able to see it, Damo. Sorry about it. You won't see Emmy Mac.
You won't see Emmy. But you will see the Smashing Pumpkins, Jane's Addiction, Amel and the Sniffers, plenty more.
Well done, mate.
When you go to that.
Good on you, Damo. Yeah.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, boys. Have a great day.
Yeah. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. What does he sing at the end? Can you go to song lyrics and check that out? What does
Mama
he sing?
Say, Mama Sa, Mama Kusa.
What? Mama says, my name is
Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Kusa.
He does not sing Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Kusa.
Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Say.
He does not.
Yeah.
Chloe, our producer, can you just go to songlyrics.com and just find out what
Mama
that
say,
might
Mama Say, Mama Say,
Mama Say,
Mama Say, Mama Say, Kusa.
Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Say. Must say that then?
Yeah, that's right.
Mama Say, Mama Say. Okay, on the Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M, Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer, sunny in 25. That's what we'll get at Jillaby today. We've got about 18 degrees, a bit chilly. So it's actually, you know, next week it's starting to become cool. What does he say?
It's correct. Mama say, mama sa, mama kusa. Like I said.
What does that mean? Just asking for a friend.
If you spoke Michael, you'd know.
It was the slap that stunned Hollywood.
Prince Harry and Meghan have made their split from the royal family.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have officially signed their divorce papers.
Getting the gossip from Australia's favourite entertainment reporter, Justin Hill. Catch his podcast, The Streaming Service, on the Listener app.
Oh, we are not worthy again. Oh, God, you know you've made it when you got an intro.
Oh, that's
wow.
You're big now. That's it.
That's all we've got time for. Thanks, Justin.
Guys, I feel like I've made it. But can I just say first, my spies tell me that you two were just moonwalking in the studio. Is that right?
Absolutely. Well, we busted a move.
I don't know if that's what I'd call it.
Yes, you would.
Busted a hip?
I did
feel my knee go.
When Michael Jackson was on with that last line, which was...
Mama say, mama sa, mama kusa.
Yeah, can dance, both of us, Jasso, can dance.
Debatable. I think the jury's... Well, I know one of you can because you're on a TV show about it, so...
Oh, you got to weave it in. He's told you to say that. He told you to say that, didn't he?
I said nothing. Thank you very much, Justin. Anyway, I won that, incidentally.
2010 was the year. Holy... I just look at the tattoo that he gave me.
Yeah.
Now, look, I believe that there's a radio DJ. He was fired from a set by Mike Myers. What did he do that was so bad?
This is the craziest story ever. So he's a radio DJ in Canada, and he's told this story overnight that has gone wild, right? So when he was younger, he had a different job, like a lot of us did. He was a security guard, and he was asked if he wanted to be a security guard on the set of Mike Myers' movie, The Love Guru. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to. And they were like, look, there's one rule you can't break. You can't look him in the eye. And he was like, okay. And then as he's getting ready to go to the set, they're like, oh, there's this other thing that you need to know. We don't know what he looks like because he's going to be wearing prosthetics and a wig. And he's like, how am I supposed to be this guy's bodyguard and not look him in the eye if I don't know who it is on the set?
Oh, wow.
So he had to guard his trailer, right? So he had to stand out the front and make sure no one went in Mike Myers' trailer. And he said this strange guy came up to him and he was being really careful not to look anyone in the eye. And then he said, oh, I'm sure that's Mike Myers because he looked like he had prosthetics on. Gave him a quick look in the eye and a nod to be like, yep, you're all right to go in there, mate, because it's obviously your trailer. An hour later, he was fired.
Because he looked at Mike Myers.
Because he looked him in the eye.
Rob Palmer has that same rule implemented here around Triple N.
I wondered that. I did hear that, actually,
exactly.
On the grapevine.
Exactly, Justin. Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't touch my own coffee cup either. It gets fed to me.
Intravenously. That's how we work. I wonder if that's true, though.
I'd like another sip, Paddy.
All right, sorry, Robert. Hang on, just put it over for him.
Quick.
How does, Justin, do you reckon that's true? Or seriously, like, look someone in the eye?
Well, the thing is, his reps have come out and said it's absolutely not true. He never even had a security guard on that movie. But this guy, I mean, he's a radio jock. He's gone on air and said it. He's claiming it is 100% true. Yeah. But, I mean, you know what it's like? Mike Myers, for a point there, when he was doing Austin Powers and The Love Guru and all those movies, he was a massive superstar, and he's a bit of a silly bugger. So I think he would probably do something like that.
Maybe. Remember when Tom Cruise, and I don't know how true this is, but if you had to have a special armband on to be in the same space as Tom Cruise. If you had the right colour armband, you could go near him. If you didn't, sorry, out you go.
I have that at home.
Do you remember that?
Whoa, look at you spilling the tea here this morning. Right.
Yeah. Wow. Listen, I just heard from a friend of a friend.
Hey, mate, what's also happening with the X-Files?
Oh, look, one of my favourite shows ever. You might remember this one from the 90s. They had a reboot of it in like 2016, something like that. Now, rumour is it's getting a brand new reboot, and it's not being done just by anyone. It's actually being made by the guy who created the Black Panther movies, Ryan Coogler. And it was actually let slip by the creator of X-Files. He said that he'd spoken to Ryan. Ryan was working on a remake of X-Files, and they were saying it's a perfect time to do it because you remember the original show was all about like the conspiracy theory in the agency. Well, he was like, there's conspiracy theories everywhere now. So it's going to be very different, but what fans love to see. So I actually can't wait to see it. I think it'll be really good.
When's that release, mate?
So it hasn't even been announced yet. So I reckon we're probably a good 2 or 3 years away from seeing it just yet. So, but it's also to the 30th anniversary of the show this year. So it makes it a good time to announce a project like that.
That music reminds me of Stranger Things, doesn't it?
Well, there you go. That's like the modern day version of the X-Files, really.
Yeah, exactly. No. You'd get a bit of Kate Bush in there and mix it up with that. That'd be
running up that hill. Yeah, but what about a bit of Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama? Yeah.
Could be anywhere. Justin moonwalking. Hill, host of the streaming service on Listener. Thanks for joining us and speak to you next Thursday, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
See you, Justin. Bye, mate.
And Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now, and you'll never miss an episode.